Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
These rappers really have gotten locked up in the dumbest ways possible.
Give me that chain.
No, mommy, chill. Don't do that, mommy. Please.
While there's a ton of rappers in the game who've gotten themselves in legal trouble, there's a couple artists out there whose arrests are astronomically stupid. From easily avoidable scandals to horribly planned criminal conspiracies, it's hard to not roll your eyes when you hear just how these rappers got themselves pinched by the law. And I'm not talking about harmless shenanigans here, because when you dig deeper, you start to see how some of these rappers' crimes expose the dark side of the rap game, from vengeance to gang violence and addiction. And that's why we're breaking down some of the most brazen, ridiculous, and dumb as hell ways some of your favorite rappers have gotten themselves arrested. How did one Grammy-winning rapper's devotion to the streets torpedo his entire career? Which multi-platinum superstar got put in handcuffs for pretending to be an FBI agent? And what about the rapper who allegedly wrote a song about an actual murder? We've even combed through the shocking federal indictment that took down one of Chicago's biggest rap phenomenons. Did he really plan an insane crash out mission in LA, and how was his shooter's insane recklessness land him in federal lockup? And when you add it all up, you gotta see which rapper got jammed up for the dumbest reason. In the case of Lil Durk, he really may have let his desire for revenge destroy everything he's ever built. Durk Devontae Banks, aka Lil Durk, was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. Raised by a single mother while his dad was locked up on drug dealing charges, Durk had to navigate the harsh reality of growing up in one of America's most notorious hoods, O'Block, aka the Parkway Garden Homes. Durk dropped out of high school and joined the Black Disciples, one of the biggest and most entrenched gangs in Chicago. In October of 2011, when Durk was just 19, he got hit with gun charges for possessing a firearm with a defaced serial number. Durk pled guilty to the crime and managed to avoid serving time in prison, but his gang affiliations would haunt him for the rest of his life. Lil Durk built a cult following as a Chicago drill artist who was really about that street life. Since 2011, Durk has been steadily dropping mixtape after mixtape, positioning himself as one of Chi-Town's most consistent artists. He even founded his very own record label, Only the Family. In 2017, Durk's label OTF signed another rising Chicago talent, Davon DeJuanan Bennett, aka King Von, who also happened to be another member of the Black Disciples. King Von and Lil Durk were a formidable duo. Their 2019 collab single Crazy Story 2.0 lit up the Billboard Bubbling Under Hot 100 chart, peaking at number 4. That very same year, both Durk and Von were arrested for allegedly robbing and shooting a man named Alexander Witherspoon outside an Atlanta restaurant. While the charges against Durk were later dropped, it seems pretty clear that success in the rap game couldn't keep him away from the streets. But November 6th of 2020, just after 3 a.m., King Von was involved in an altercation that ended tragically. A fight broke out outside the Monica Hookah Lounge in Atlanta between King Von's entourage and a crew linked to a rival rapper, Quando Rondo. Surveillance footage captured King Von throwing punches at Quando right before gunshots rang out. King Von sustained multiple gunshot wounds and was later pronounced dead at Atlanta's Grady Hospital. He was just 26 years old. The man identified with having shot King Von was none other than 22-year-old Timothy Lil Tim Leeks, who was closely affiliated with Quando Rondo. Quando claimed self-defense.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
accusing King Von of attacking him outside the Monica Hookah Lounge while also sticking up for his associate Lil Tim. And the charges against Lil Tim were later dropped because of Georgia's Stand Your Ground law. He couldn't have known it at the time, but the murder of King Von would be the domino that ultimately wrecked the rest of Lil Durk's career.
I don't think about it, man. Zero.
In the years after King Von's death, Durk achieved unprecedented success as one of Chicago's most prominent superstars. In 2020, just months after King Von's shooting, Lil Durk received his first top 10 Billboard song ever when he appeared on Drake's single Laugh Now Cry Later, which peaked at number 2. In 2021, after nearly a decade in the rap game, Lil Durk achieved his first number 1 album ever when he teamed up with Lil Baby for their collab project, Voices of the Heroes. Later that year, Durk linked up with country artist Morgan Wallen for Broadway Girls, which peaked at number 14 on the Billboard charts and positioned Durk to be a major crossover star. But it turns out that while Lil Durk was conquering the Billboard charts, he may have also been planning for an insane murder-for-hire plot. According to the FBI, a crew of OTF members were allegedly dispatched from Chicago to LA to carry out a hit against Quando Rondo as revenge for the death of King Von 3 years earlier. An affidavit filed in federal court claims that Durk himself placed a bounty on Quando Rondo's head. On August 18th of 2022, OTF members allegedly learned that Quando had booked a hotel in LA. Sensing a golden opportunity, 5 crew members booked one-way flights from Chicago to San Diego and then arranged to travel up north to LA. At the very same time, Lil Durk himself flew on a private jet from Miami to LA, where he traveled with a man named Kevon London Grant. The FBI claims that a text message was sent from Durk's iCloud account to one of the OTF members who purchased a ticket that said, "Don't book no flights under my name." But while Durk was apparently real careful about not linking his name to any of his crew's flight plans, travel companion Kevon Grant wasn't as diligent about covering their tracks. The feds claim that Grant used Durk's own credit card to book a room at the Sheraton Universal Hotel, where 5 OTF members stayed in one room as they planned out their hit against Quando Rondo. And sidebar, 5 grown men in one room is that's nasty work. Open up the budget. Come on. Durk. While Lil Durk was in LA at the same time, he maintained his distance from the hit squad, renting a home in Encino, California, 10 miles away. But the FBI claims that Kevon Grant continued to make purchases for the so-called OTF hit squad. Not only do they allege that Grant distributed weapons to OTF members, but they also claim that he bought ski masks from a sporting goods store and rented vehicles for them. The federal indictment details how Kevon Grant allegedly supplied them with a rented BMW and an Infiniti while supplying the team with fake license plates. Using those 2 vehicles, the OTF members then allegedly tailed Quando Rondo to his hotel, then a marijuana dispensary, and then a clothing store on Melrose Avenue. But when Quando pulled up to a gas station near the Beverly Center, an upscale LA shopping mall, the team decided to make their move. 3 masked men ambushed Quando Rondo and his cousin Savia Robinson, aka Band Up Pablo, resulting in a shootout. While Rondo survived the shootout, Band Up Pablo was ultimately pronounced dead at the hospital. The feds claim that within hours, the 5 OTF members were on a flight back to Chicago. While the attempt on Quando Rondo's life was unsuccessful, the shooter still unalived one of Rondo's closest friends and family members.
This the only thing about this life shit, my nigga. Ain't no rules.
Meanwhile, Lil Durk only continued to reach new heights in his career. On May 12th of 2023, just months after Band Up Pablo's murder in LA, Durk released a brand new single, All My Life, featuring J. Cole. Durk was celebrated for taking a more inspirational tone, while J. Cole used his verse to lament the deaths of young rappers. I just sat with the mayor and politicians, I'm trying to change the image. All My Life launched Lil Durk to a number 2 peak on the Billboard Hot 100, and it immediately became his highest charting song ever as a lead artist. On February 4th of 2024, Lil Durk took a major victory lap when All My Life earned him his first ever Grammy as he walked away with the Best Melodic Rap Performance trophy. Months later, on October 19th, Durk received another major honor when he received the Keys to the City for Broadview and Bellwood, which are both villages outside of Chicago. While Durk met with the mayors of both villages, critics were furious that an artist like Lil Durk would receive official recognition, especially given his criminal records, violent lyrics, and his well-documented connection to the Black Disciples. Mayor Katrina Thompson of Broadview addressed the backlash head-on by reading the lyrics to All My Life during an official meeting, claiming that the song signified how much Dirk has changed his life for the better. But on October 23rd of 2024, just days after Dirk received two keys to the city, the feds swooped in on five members of Dirk's OTF label, arresting Kayvon Grant, DeAndre Wilson, Keith Jones, David Lindsay, and Asa Houston, charging them with conspiracy to commit murder. And that very next day, Lil Durk was arrested in Broward County, Florida. The FBI claimed that they had received alerts that Durk had booked one-way flights out of the country to both Dubai and Switzerland, and he was also listed as a passenger on a private plane bound for Italy. It sounded a lot like Durk was trying to hatch an escape plan to leave the USA as quickly as possible after his OTF affiliates got swooped up by the feds. When you analyze the federal indictment, you start to see all the ways that Durk up and got himself tangled in this murder-for-hire conspiracy plot. The feds claim that one of the shooters left his phone in a car that was used in the attempt hit on Quando Rondo. Law enforcement said they traced that phone to the shooter's girlfriend, who then cooperated in the case. The feds even claim that they have text messages between OTF members allegedly involved in the hit where they explicitly discuss Lil Durk, payment, and coordination, further implicating Durk in the conspiracy. Following Durk's arrest in Florida, he was extradited to LA, where he remains in federal custody without bail. Ever since the news broke, fans have been dunking on Dirk for being the alleged ringleader of the assassination plot, claiming that he may have thrown away a hugely lucrative music career, all for a chance to clap back at Quando Rondo. Fuck the music career, bro. He sacrificed his whole life. He's done. And if the federal indictment is to be believed, Lil Durk and his alleged co-conspirators seem to have left behind a major digital paper trail of communications and credit card charges that all link back to Durk's OTF label. The feds even claim that Durk may have promised his shooters lucrative music opportunities as payment for taking out his ops. If these allegations are true, the OTF hit squad seems really badly organized, and they apparently did a god-awful job at covering their tracks. Oh, and the villages of Broadview and Bellwood quickly snatched their keys to the city back. He didn't even get to hang on for those for a week. Fans even dug up interview footage from Lil Durk's appearance on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast from March of 2024, where co-host Wallo urged Durk to leave the street life alone and take vengeance off the table. Considering the insanity of Durk's downfall, Wallo's advice seemed pretty prophetic. But Durk isn't the only superstar whose career got sidelined under dumb circumstances.
Was that true? Did you really put the light on in the car and bust through the gate?
I think that's enough.
Decades earlier, Earl Simmons, aka DMX, was one of the biggest names in hip-hop. X's early years growing up in Yonkers, New York, were marked by abuse, poverty, and addiction. As a teenager, he claims he regularly robbed people and committed carjackings, eventually ending up in prison. But while behind bars, X started taking rap seriously and developed a fearsome reputation as one of New York City's wildest personalities. In 1998, DMX dropped his debut album, It's Dark and Hell is Hot, which debuted at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and went on to go 4x platinum.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30 days.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
The very same year, DMX doubled down and released his second album, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, which also went number one. X became the second artist ever to release 2 albums in the same calendar year and have them both top the Billboard charts. The first artist to do so was none other than the late Tupac Shakur. DMX parlayed his major chart success into the kind of career most artists would kill for. With 5 platinum albums and starring roles in movies like Belly and Romeo Must Die, X achieved the kind of blockbuster mainstream success that few rappers ever get to see. But X could never escape the shadow of legal drama that trailed him his entire life. X was sent to jail over 30 times throughout his career for a laundry list of offenses that included tax evasion, drug possession, and animal cruelty, but the wildest arrest he ever got himself into was easily the time he pretended to be an FBI agent. In 2004, DMX and an associate named Jackie Hudgens were at New York's John F. Kennedy Airport when they apparently decided to steal a car from a completely random person. DMX seemingly just pulled a guy out of his car at one of the airport's paid parking lots, jumped in with his friend, and just drove off. When they pulled up on a parking attendant at the airport, X claimed that he was an FBI agent in order to convince the guard to let him through. The attendant was actually about to raise the gate, but X drove through it anyway and crashed the car. After that, the actual feds caught up to DMX and arrested him. They not only charged him with impersonating a federal agent, but they also found drugs in his possession. X even got hit with criminal possession of a weapons charges because he was carrying a police baton on him. It sounds like X was fully committed to his police impersonation. But maybe the downright stupidest thing that any rapper has ever done is confess to a murder in a song. And that's exactly what happened to Ladarian Chandler, a 19-year-old rapper in Central Florida who was accused of using lyrics to brag about unaliving a rival gang member. According to authorities, Chandler got into an altercation with a 33-year-old man named John McGee on December 17th of 2022. Investigators claimed that McGee was mean mugging his ops when Chandler allegedly shot him in the back. McGee initially survived but refused medical care at the hospital and didn't name names. Authorities say that the suspect John McGee wanted to get revenge himself, but he didn't get a chance. 24 days after the shooting, McGee passed away of his injuries. The Polk County Sheriff's Department admitted that they struggled to solve the case until Ladarian Chandler was arrested for pulling a gun on someone else in the same area where John McGee was shot. Investigators connected the dots and unearthed a video where Ladarian Chandler raps about an indictment that's eerily familiar to what happened to John McGee.
Tried to run, I hit his back. Glock shoot like a map. Third ass dead.
Sheriff Grady Judd uses a press conference to dunk on Ladarian Chandler, bragging that when Chandler was charged with first-degree murder,
he started crying like a baby that lost his pacifier.
Sheriff Judd even decided to critique Chandler's rap career.
He's not much of a rapper. You know, he's just a terrible rapper. But he's a stupid rapper.
And not gonna lie, given the circumstances, he might be right about that one.